Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and lover of all things cake. Like literally any type of cake. I'm just a huge fan of. It's just awesome. Welcome to this week's episode, and this week we're talking about money. Yes, it's gonna be a good topic. You know, I may tread on a few toes, but we're gonna be looking at why, how money could be getting in the way of you feeling awesome and of your health. So I get vulnerable and honest and deep with you guys on this, a little bit emotional as well. I may shed a few tears, but it's something I really felt in my gut and in my spirit that I wanted to talk about, because I see it as actually being a really big obstacle for a lot of people I've had conversations with and a lot of people in my community. And I think we just need to shift sometimes our perspective of money and the stories we have around money in order to really help us to feel free and create that life that we want to live. I'm obviously by no means a money expert. In fact, just numbers confuse me. So this isn't like, financial health podcast. This is more about the bigger picture, the mindset aspect and the thoughts and the stories and everything that we have around our health. So that's what today's episode is about. But otherwise, on other news, I am very excited to let you guys know that I am in the process currently of creating a brand new 4-week kind of Kickstarter course, all based around the kind of four foundations and methodologies of the Gut Goddess Show and of everything that I do with clients. I realized that actually what I really want to create was a short program that really got people started and really got you equipped with the key foundations and tools that you needed to feel more awesome. So I haven't quite decided on a name yet. If you have any ideas, let me know. I thought maybe it could be the Gut Goddess course or the Beat the Bloat program, or I wasn't quite sure. I'm not great at naming things, but that will be coming to you guys super soon. So if you're not on my list, then make sure you head to my website and grab one of the freebies. And make sure, because that is going to be coming out soonish, before I have this baby anyway. And it's going to be in a really, really amazing resource where I'm going to coach you through a lot of what we talk about here on the show, and there'll be some real detail around it and things like meal plans and recipes and just a lot of stuff to help you ditch the overwhelm and really create, you know, a happier, flatter belly and more joyful life, and the key four foundations of that. So it's going to be very, very exciting. Also, I also say this tentatively because a lot depends on how much time I have. I'm also working on a new ebook as well, which is, wait for it, all about the cake. So I have my Sweet Treat Collections ebooks, which is all about basically sweet treats and snacks that are refined sugar-free, gluten-free, dairy-free options, all that sort of good stuff. And it's super popular. People love it. It's a really great resource to help you begin ditching your sugar addiction. So that's available on my website. But I recognize that I really wanted to create a beautiful recipe ebook all around specifically really decadent celebration cakes. So cakes for birthdays, you know, with beautiful icing, carrot cakes, fudge cakes, coffee and walnut cake, a nice tea loaf, a fruit cake, you know, all of these real celebratory decadent cakes, you know, things you're probably not going to be eating every single day, but cakes that are going to be made of whole foods that are not going to contain gluten, they're not going to contain refined sugar, but actually really feel like an amazing treat. And it's going to be your go-to recipes for birthdays, baby showers, hen do's, or just, you know, just a weekend where you want to treat yourself, then I'm currently working on that. So keep an eye on my Instagram and Facebook for kind of photos of that. So I'm hoping that that will be with you sort of in the autumn of this year. If there's any particular cake that you really want me to do a version of, then let me know. I'm currently going to go with the classics. So there's going to be a fudge cake, good old Victoria sponge, kind of vanilla sponge cake, carrot cake, coffee and walnut cake, lemon drizzle cake, fruit cake, a banoffee pie, although I recognize that's not a cake, but I mean, I really like banoffee pie, so I'm just going to put that in there. Probably put some cupcake recipes in there as well, because cupcakes are just so cute to have, and everyone loves a cupcake with some icing on, don't they? So that is hopefully, you know, that's not going to be with you anytime soon, because with having a baby and getting all the other stuff sorted, but I am in the process of recipe creating for that. So I'm hoping by autumn this year that should be with you. That is the goal. We'll see how that goes. But let me know, what cakes do you want to see? I would be, you know, I'm always happy to chat cake with people. And before we dive into today's episode and talk all about money, I really want to thank you for the reviews. It's so lovely to get reviews from guys. From the review of this week is by Sarah Skin Story. And she says, I've been meaning to write a review for ages. I love your podcast and I've been religiously listening for a while. So much helpful information. I completely agree with eating a diet full of healthy fats, I've been a little scared of dairy, having cleared my skin from acne. However, you've inspired me with all your butter talk. Now I can't get enough. Really appreciate all the time and effort you put into the podcast. Thank you so much, Sarah. And I love that you're eating butter again. That genuinely makes me really really happy. Another secret aim of mine that I want to do before I die anyway is create like merchandise all around butter, like bags and t-shirts that say, just eat butter or something like that. I really want to do that at some point. But thank you so much for that review. And if you haven't left a review yet, it would mean so much to me if you headed over to iTunes, clicked the ratings and reviews and left a star rating and a review. I read all of them. I check in with them regularly and I take any feedback on board. So if you haven't left a review, it's just a really, really nice way of saying, hey, thanks, Kezia. I see you. And it really helps me also with getting guests and things on the show. So without further ado, let's talk money, money, money. So, money, 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 money. Da-da-da-da. Don't worry, I'm not going to make this karaoke, but it's a hot topic. It's a hot totty, shall we say, of a subject, don't you think? And the reason I came to this is I have been chatting a lot and having small conversations with people in my community recently and through my clarity calls, which I've been offering, and to find out if basically people want to work with me in my one-to-one practice. Well, that's one of the reasons anyway. And I have been surprised and found myself very worked up and I'm just going to be honest, frustrated at how much money gets in the way of people feeling awesome. And I don't mean this, you know, obviously I run a business, so in all transparency, I'm not annoyed because people aren't working with me and therefore I'm not making money, if that makes sense. That's not what actually really riles me up. It's actually the few occasions where I have gotten really passionate. I've had to take a bit of time and chat to Joe a bit about it, of like, what's going on here? Because this is, I'm very passionate about this. And I actually realize how much people's relationship with money is affecting their health, basically, and how it's getting in the way. And actually, for most of us, it's not necessarily about how much money we have. So I'm not going to talk about, like, this podcast isn't about, like, logistics or finances and budgeting, although I really encourage you to grow in that area if you're not great at it. I think health is, there's health, full body health also includes financial health. And that looks like knowing what you spend and what you earn and what comes in and what goes out and savings and investments and those kinds of things. So, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about this bigger picture of how it could potentially be getting in the way of you actually feeling your best, of you healing, of you overcoming those health issues, of you getting and living the life that you want to live, and how money can be an amazing, amazing resource to help us create the life that we love, but how it can also be a huge obstacle that if we're not aware of is going to get in our way for years and years. So I've spoken to people recently who have had really actually quite serious life-changing, debilitating health issues going on. And they've maybe had them for 10 years. And the reason, one of the reasons they haven't done anything about that is this story they have in their head that they don't have the money to either buy healthy food or either to invest in someone to someone support or go and see an acupuncturist or whatever it is, whatever that means, whether it's in, I'm in the picture or not. And they have, and I deliberately use the word story because that's a lot of the time what's going on. And actually your money mindset is really going to impact the progress that you've made with your health. And the reason that I say that is because, guys, guess what? That's a journey I've been on and something I've been learning a lot of, especially in the last probably say 3 to 4 years. I realized that actually it was my money mindset that was getting in the way of me healing my body, because I was telling myself this story that there wasn't enough. And really some of the underlying stories behind that story was, I shouldn't spend money on myself. I'm not valuable. I'll feel bad if I invest money in myself. And there's other more useful things that this money should go to. You know, I have a very, my work history is a lot around charity work and very kind of practical support work of those who are more vulnerable in society or disadvantaged, for want of a better word, in some way. And so I'm very aware that money is a resource that I could use to help create cleaner water in certain countries, that I could use to help the homeless in the city that I live in, that I could use to help contribute to an end to sexual exploitation. I'm very aware of that the money I have, that the however much money is available to me, can go to these really worthwhile things. And so I had a lot of issues around putting some of that money towards my health, when A, it could go to paying off bills, paying credit cards, to the mortgage, or B, to these other charitable resources, or C, to like sensible things like savings and, you know, investments and all of those sorts of stuff. And so this, I share this podcast and this episode with you with, because this is something I've been learning, guys. This isn't me all like high and mighty being like, I've never had any issues with money. This is something I still know. It's probably one of the biggest barriers in terms of me taking my health to the next level and my business and other aspects of my life. Because it's really, really important. And so what are we talking about? So some of the key foundations of this are, when we're looking at money, is what we're really talking about is we're talking about a resource. So money is a resource. It's something that can make other stuff happen. So it's not the only resource we have available. Time. Time is also a resource. Time is something we can spend and we can save. Money is something we can spend and we can save. I would also argue our health is another resource. When you have an abundance of health, you can spend it on awesome things. When you have a lack or a health debt, then you're really going to struggle to be able to have certain options in front of you. And all of these things basically create options, they create choice. So when you have an abundance of money and you have an abundance of health, then you can, you know, go and travel the world and not worry that you're going to end up with like Jardia in India or whatever, which is something that happened to me. When you have an abundance of time and health, then that also opens up so many choices to you. You can do yoga classes, you can invest in your community, you might start a blog or an Instagram account to serve other people, you might run a business like I do to with that time and with that health to help and serve people. So really what we're talking about today is it's a resource. So I know that actually money is a huge trigger for people. It can make you, even me talking about it and some of the stuff I say in this episode might really piss you off and be like, ugh, Kezia, you don't know anything about me. How, like, you know, don't be so unrealistic. Don't be so ridiculous. You're just trying to make money. And I totally get that. That's fine. Feel free. You can think what you like about me. I'm okay with that. But I know that this is a really, really important area. And I really felt it in my heart and in my gut to talk about this because I was really frustrated. Not because people, you know, weren't working with me and that affects my bottom line, because that's really just not a big deal. But it's because it was getting in their own way. It was like a form of self-sabotage, and that people were so unaware of this resource of money and the stories behind it and the other resources available to them that they were unable to make progress. And that makes me feel really sad, actually. And I know for me, for years, I really struggled to spend money on myself because ultimately I didn't feel like I was worth it. I felt bad. You know, very at the start of being married, like 6 years ago, my husband was finishing his PhD. I was working as an artist. I was mainly earning most of the money. Then he was finishing up his PhD and, you know, doing all his funding had ended and was writing up. And there was no way I would have spent money on myself because I would have felt bad about doing that when, you know, we only had like one income and we had some debts and other things. And then as time went on, I felt bad about spending his money when we moved and he started a job and I needed to look for a job. So there was a time, and so he was mainly providing most of the money and I felt bad about that and I couldn't spend quote unquote his money and on myself, and just so much junk that gets in the way. And actually in the last couple of years, I have been amazed at how much better I felt. I was chatting to Joe in the car the other day. He picked me up from Edinburgh. I live in Glasgow. And I was just, I don't know why, but I just started to think how much my health had improved since before getting pregnant. By the end of 2017, I just remember feeling so grateful that actually, you know, my health is by no means perfect. You know, there were still some issues going on, still some things I was getting to the bottom of. But by the end of 2017, I'd felt the best that I'd ever felt in a really long time. And I'd made loads of progress in that year. I had a really thorough understanding of what was going on in my body because I'd invested in certain tests and certain experts to give me input of what the heck was going on. So I knew that I had some heavy metal toxicity, that there's some thyroid issues with antibodies, that there's potentially a lack of iodine and selenium going on, that all of these different things, I was really low in folate, low in B12, all of this stuff. I had a really thorough understanding of what was going on in my body. And I also was just feeling the best that I felt. I felt like I'd made real progress. And I was just so grateful for that. And I honestly think one of the things that really shifted that for me was paying and putting And that symbol of me exchanging money, because it's not about the money. It's not about the whatever, the £30 on an acupuncture or the supplement or the organic broccoli. It's about, for so many of us, it's actually about saying, I'm worth this. My health is worth this. My life, how I feel in my day to day and week to week, how I feel about my body, how I feel in my body, the fact that I'm exhausted, I'm depressed, I'm in pain, I'm lethargic, my muscles are heavy, the fact that my hormones and my periods are painful and heavy, the fact that I have an autoimmune issue, the fact that I have this health thing, you know, all of this stuff actually, you know, I'm worth investing in and changing this, that there is hope for me. I think we put our money in things that we often put our hope into in some respect, not in everything, but often we've lost hope with our health, and therefore we don't want to prioritize investing in it. And I think that's really sad, because, and it makes me feel emotional even now, because there is always hope for our health. There is, I know there's mysteries and there's crap things that happen with our bodies and stuff we can't control, but I'm so convinced of the body's ability to heal, and that there is real hope for you and for your body and for your health. And even if you can feel 20% better than what you do now, then that, think of how much your life could change. And so often, I know for me that it was numbers and maths that was getting in the way of me making that progress. And that, and now that I've seen that, I can, it's some, it, it really, you know, it makes me really passionate and really sad, but I also want to talk about it. Because sometimes it is just about sheer maths, you know, but sometimes, and a lot of the case, it's about actually this deeper thing of you being worth it, and that there is hope for change in your health. And actually, you don't need to tolerate feeling like crap. Like, I'm amazed at how many women I speak to that seem to just be okay with waking up every day in pain, waking up every day feeling gross, waking up every day being bloated, waking up every day feeling uncomfortable, whatever it is. And you just don't need to. I'm not saying that everything in your life can be all fixed and 100%. You know, some of us, I'm aware that in my life, I'm probably always going to have certain issues around my health that will be areas of weakness, and I've accepted that and I'm okay with that. You know, I've done run enough tests to know what's going on in my body. I know my genetics. I know the things that are going to be potential weaknesses, but that doesn't mean I'm not aiming for 100%, or I'll be happy with 80%, but I'm still going to go for that 100% because that's available for me. And because when we do feel healthy, like, just think about like how that could change your life. You know, I think about that now, even with, I'm currently pregnant, so it's hard to know, but before getting pregnant, I still had some joint issues, especially with my wrists. And even that small example, if I can figure out and kind of support that and bring a real strength and healing to my wrist, then just that in itself opens up so many opportunities. I could go back to yoga. I've always wanted to train as a yoga instructor. So all of it, do you see how that could open up this whole other aspect of my life and experience? Just if I can do that, or if I, you know, whether it's losing weight and that helping with your confidence, and that open, meaning you start a business or you go out there and you find the man of your dreams because you're confident and you're with, and you attract that in, whatever it is, it's really, really, really powerful. So money is, it's really is just a resource. And I totally get, guys, I totally get that you might be listening to this and be like, Kezia, you don't see my bank account. You don't see, I'm in $5,000 of debt, my credit card, I've got a mortgage, I earn this amount, blah, 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 all those different things. I totally get that, that we are all in different financial situations. And I am not, my personal belief is, I don't like getting into debt. So I would never encourage you to put organic food on your credit card or buy supplements on your credit cards or things like that. My personal, our kind of family values is as low debt as possible. Because I think it kind of can trap you. It's not very freeing necessarily. So I'm not encouraging you to go and blow a load of money. I'm encouraging you to be wise around your finances and get the resources that you need. And maybe, you know, if you're interested, I could do a whole episode. Maybe me and Joe, we could do an episode on how we manage our finances. I don't know. If that's interesting, let me know. We'd be happy to do that and how we figured that out. But what I really want to talk about here is actually a lot of the time we do just use our numbers and our money as an excuse often for the real deeper issue, which is often around we've given up hope for our health, we don't think we're worth it, or we don't think we're valuable enough. And it really comes down to, with money, it really comes down to what you prioritize. So I've chatted to a few people that are maybe in different health situations and they're like, no, I can't, you know, I don't have the time or the money to whatever it is, work on my thyroid or my energy. Let's just take that as an example. But what they're really saying, and what we're really saying when we say that, is, oh, it's not a priority. So a lot of the time, you know, from my own health journey, I started on something called the Gut and Psychology Syndrome Diet, which is a healing protocol diet created by Dr. Natasha McBride, probably like 6 years ago at the start, just after I got married. So it'd be 6 years ago. Our finances at that point were I think our like income each month was something like, I don't know, £1,200 or something. So I can't remember exactly, but it was, you know, it's not an abundance of cash for a household. That was both our joint income due to Joe finishing his PhD and his funding finishing. I think it was roughly around that sort of number. It might have been a couple of hundred more, might have been a hundred or so less. But that's when I started my sort of real focused healing journey. So it's really not about, and I managed to do the GAPS diet with that budget. You can make stuff happen. You can 100% eat a healthy whole foods diet on a budget. You do not need to be spending thousands and thousands of pounds a month in order to eat healthy. You don't. And that's another excuse we tell ourselves. You have to make certain compromises. So maybe you don't eat loads of organic meat. You maybe just focus on bone broth. You maybe consume more things like lentils and pulses. You buy them dried. You soak them yourself. Whatever it is, you often need to, if you don't have a lot of money as a resource, you need to invest another resource, often time. So I often talk about this time to money ratio. Because health is this powerful resource, we have to invest in it. Health doesn't just like spring up and slap us in the face. It's something that we have an opportunity to invest in and cultivate. So anything in life that you want to invest in and see grow and flourish and nourish requires some investment. So you have a plant, it needs watering, it needs light, it needs investment. You have a child, you need to nourish them with food and you need to nourish them with love. You have to invest into it. So with your health, you need to nourish it with something. It's not just going to grow on its own accord. And one of the key things that often health requires in order to grow and in order to become robust is either money or time or both. And everyone is on this scale of how much money versus time we have to invest in our health. So if you don't have a lot of money to invest in your health, you have to invest more time. It's just the spectrum of how it works. If you say you don't have time or money, then you don't, it's about priorities. You don't understand what health is. Health is not going to grow with nothing. Health needs something to grow from. And often, most of the time, it needs money and it needs time. And if you don't, so back in the day when I didn't have a lot of money, I invested a bit more time. So I'd make my own bone broth, I'd buy dried beans in bulk and soak and sprout them, I'd make my own sourdough bread when I ate gluten at the time. I went to like the market and I went to Lidl and I went to Tesco's to find the cheapest options. You know, I went to several different shops to get the most bargains that there was. I planned my meals. I did all of these different things. Now that I have a little bit more money to spend on my groceries, I spend money on things that will save me time. So I, at the moment, I have like a real food gluten-free pizza that you know, just for a Friday night when I can't be asked, I buy things that, you know, I might buy a really good quality almond milk instead of making it, because I've got a little bit more of the resource of money and I've not got as much resource of time with everything else going on in life. So I think that's a really, really important part that I talk a lot to clients about, because health is, if you think of health as a plant or a tree, it needs resources to grow. And the most powerful resources we have are time and money. And you cannot cultivate health if you're not willing to invest one or both of those things. And we're all on different ends of the spectrum. You know, if you have loads of money, then you might hire personal trainers, maybe a personal chef, and a housekeeper, all of those kinds of things, so that you are not having to invest much time at all. If you're really short on the actual money, then you need to invest a bit more time, like find the cheapest deal for your coconut oil, find the cheapest deal for your organic carrots. Where's the cheapest place that you can get some bone broth? Can you get some bones for free from your butchers? You know, is there a special offer on mangoes at this shop? Can you find a secondhand juicer on Gumtree that someone's not using? You know, all of these different things. How can you, like, I started not using shampoo back in that day because organic shampoo is so expensive, but bicarbonate of soda is super cheap. So I just stopped. I detoxed my hair so I didn't have to buy shampoo. I stopped using shower gels and soaps. I used bicarbonate of soda and tea tree oil for my cleaning products. I really stripped back the things that I didn't need to spend money on so that I could invest money in my health. So the time, I just, while you're listening to this, just think about, where are you on that scale? You know, if at one end you have time and on one end you have money, where at the moment do you have the most, which of those things can you invest? Do you have more of? And I know you'll immediately think, I don't have much of any, but that's not true. That's just a story you're telling yourself. If you have, if you don't have much money, then you maybe need to create a bit of time to invest in your health. So it really is all about, it's this time, money, spectrum and factor, but it's also about making your health a priority. And really, I honestly think that health becomes a priority when we discover how to, or when we really get to the root issue of things and realize that health is possible for us and that we are worth it and that we can do it. And I think that's a really, really important place to start from, is looking at this whole spectrum and looking at what are your priorities. And also, really practical wise, just looking at your finances and how they are set up. So let's now look at a couple. There's one more thing I'd written down in terms of mentioning and talking about money, is really about, I'd really want to encourage you to, first of all, recognize that we spend money on things that are valuable to us. And I've talked about this a bit already, but, you know, we'll put our money into things that we deem as valuable, as to things that we think are a priority, things that are important to us, things that we highly value most of the time. I know that sometimes we, you know, things like paying my electricity bill doesn't feel like a super high value that I have, but really having electricity in my house is a value, because it's electricity that means I can have hot water and keep my iPhone charged and all that sort of stuff. So really, the things I want you to think about and just be aware of, actually, if you want to know what you value, you can look at what you spend. So you can actually do an exercise where you go back and look at your bank statements and just look at the different things you spent money on. And what are the things that you, what are your biggest outgoings? So in my life and in our kind of finances, our spreadsheet that we have, the biggest outgoing, things like our home. We recently moved, well, six or eight months ago, we moved house, and our mortgage increased quite a bit more than our previous mortgage. So actually, what we're saying by that, by choosing, making the choice to live in a bigger house, is that our home is something we prioritize and value, and it's an investment that we are it's an investment. And that you can see that in our finances. That's actually a priority for us. Do we need to live in a house in this area and in this of this size and in this place? No, we don't. So if that value changes, we can easily sell the house and it doesn't need to be a priority. But right now we decided that that was a priority. And when you look at different other things, so things like, you know, I buy organic broccoli. Normal broccoli is like 45p and an Aldi or Lidl. Organic broccoli is maybe like a £1.10 or 20. So it's more than double the price. But you'll see on my bank statements that I will spend money on organic broccoli because I value the nutrient benefits of that. So it's a really great way if you're like, Kezia, I don't really know what you mean. Like, I have to, everything I spend my money on, I have to spend it on. That's not true. You always have a choice. And actually, if you want to know the things that are valuing, look at what you spend your money on. Do you spend a lot of money on your kids are at uni or at clubs? Do you spend several hundred pounds a month on your kids' clubs? Do you spend a lot of money on car repayments? You know, if you have, you maybe really value having a nice car. That's not something I hugely value. We've had rubbish cars for the last, 6 years or something. That have literally been like falling apart, but they still move. Not because that's a better option, but it's just because it's not something I value. I'm not that bothered about having a nice car. But for my mum, for example, she loves cars. And so she values that. And so she invests in a Mini Cooper, like one of these nice, awesome, zooped up ones, because that's important to her. And that's totally fine. So I'd really encourage you to look at what you spend your money on, and that will show you what you value in your life. And as part of that, I really just want to point on as well, culturally, there is a little bit of potential kind of brainwashing that can go on. So the first thing you want to do is establish, you know, what are the values that you are living by? What are the most important things to you? And a great way of looking at that, it's not the only way, but a great way of looking at what those values are is looking at what you spend your money on. And the next thing is to look at, once you know and see what you're spending your money on, is deciding, is that really important to you? So is that expensive haircut, or is that new shoes, or new pillow that you bought, or that new video from Amazon that you buy regularly, new DVDs, whatever it is, that gym subscription, whatever it is that you're spending your money on, is that something that is valuable to you? Because it's really easy for us to spend our money on things that actually aren't that important, or we're not really that fussed around. Like, you know, a lot of the time people are like, oh, you could be spending 30 quid a month on that coffee you have every day. But for me, when I used to live near one of my favorite coffee shops, actually, I really value going out and buying an overpriced organic coffee from an artisan coffee shop with organic milk or oat milk. I really value that experience. And so I don't cut that from my budget. But like I said, I'm not that bothered about having the fanciest car ever. So I don't get into debt around having a car. I really value things like having a nice home. But I do a lot of the stuff in my home myself, like the painting or creating the artwork for the walls or whatever it is. And there's not a right or a wrong of this. It's all just about realizing and just being aware of the things that you really value and making sure that you're spending the money on the things that you do value. And also just to be aware of a lot of our culture, there is a real stream of materialism in our culture. I don't want to sound like I'm on some sort of like Radio 4 ranting show, or like I'm all high and mighty. You know, I love buying stuff, FYI. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with buying things. But really, when it comes to we get told we need lots of things that I'm not convinced we need. So even now, as I am growing a baby, I can easily pick up any mother and baby magazine or blog that tells me I need probably to spend maybe 2 or 3 grand on getting equipment before baby arrives. And I need to have this type of baby shower. I should be wearing this type of clothes. I should be doing this and this, you know, all of these different things. Whereas this reality is women have had babies and lived for a really long time without having all these fancy, smancy things. Yeah, there's going to be certain things I invest in, but actually just being aware, being wise of that aspect of our culture. There's so many things about living in this country and in these cultures that are a real privilege, but it does undercome, there is a real message of buying things will make you happy, and buying stuff won't make you happy, but feeling kick-ass healthy might very well literally make you happy. You know, you can't shop your way out of depression, but potentially you could eat your way out of depression. Like, in terms of the thing that's actually going to make you happier, I would argue that your health is going to contribute so much more to your happiness than that designer handbag or that skinny pair of jeans or that new throw for your front room or that new wallpaper that costs like £100 a roll, which I'm a big fan of those kinds of things. So I'd really encourage you, when it comes, there's nothing wrong with spending lots of money on expensive wallpaper. I do not have a problem with that whatsoever. But if it's going to come at the cost of your health, if it's going to mean you saying, well, I can't afford to invest in my health, but I can afford to go on that luxury cruise, or I can afford that £200 per roll wallpaper, then actually that's something that I really would want you to consider, is what's more important, what's going to help you most, is that new pair of jeans, that new bag, that holiday, that wallpaper, that expensive haircut or whatever it is, or actually you feeling good in your body. So that is like a little bit of what I want to talk about. I think someone's just started mowing their lawn outside my house, so apologies if you can hear that. But what are some of the practical actions that you can take? Because I know we've talked about a lot, gone emotional, shed a few tears, I've probably maybe pushed a couple of your buttons. You might not agree with me on everything that I've said. That's okay. I want to be really honest on this podcast, but I really hope that our connection is dependent not on us agreeing, but on us being connected to one another. You know, you can, agreement isn't always the most important thing in relationships, I don't think. So you'll feel free to disagree with some of the stuff that I have said, but I just really encourage you to look at this aspect of money and how it could be getting in the way of you feeling healthier and happier and more joyful. Because I can see it happening in so many people's lives and they're not aware of it. And so I really want to bring awareness to it. So, but in terms of leaving, I want to give you a couple of action points to take away. So I want you to think first about this time money spectrum. Where honestly, do you fit in that? And which of the, and if you feel like, Kezia, I don't have time or money, then which resource are you willing to invest in order to get this beautiful thing called health? Which resource are you more inclined and more ready to invest in? Because you can 100% not invest a lot of money and invest a lot of time and in order to grow your health. That's a real option. Or you can invest a blend of both, or you can focus on investing money. There's no perfect right or wrong answer here. It's all about what are you willing to invest, because you do need to invest something in your health. Rarely, there's a few people that will be incredibly healthy their whole lives without any effort from themselves, but I would say that is incredibly rare. Health is such a powerful and beautiful and transformational thing. It's such an amazing resource that it does require feeding. It does require cultivating and nourishing. So what are you willing to invest between your time and money, and where are you on that spectrum? So just think about that. Take a few minutes. The next thing I want you to look at is, when it comes to your health, do you have hope for your health? Do you have hope for whether it's weight loss or your energy, or whether you may be struggling with a really big autoimmune issue or maybe a cancer diagnosis, or whether it's big or small? Are you just tolerating feeling crap? Is there something in you that goes, I could feel better, I could feel happier, I could feel healthier? Is there hope in your health? Because hope is a really important currency that we need to have. And it's really, really important that, and I hope that this podcast fills you with hope. That's one of my secret aims, is that you listen to this podcast and you're like, I'm so inspired. And you know, when we say we're so inspired, it's often because we've received hope and we've received courage to do something. So do you have hope for your health? And the next question is, I just want you to think about is, do you know that you're worth it? Do you know that you're worth it? You know, are you worth investing in when it comes to your health? And the final thing, the final question, question four would be to think about, is there something that you feel like you're wasting money on? Is there, maybe it's a gym membership, maybe it's going out and having drinks with your friends, and you don't actually, you like hanging out with your friends, but you don't like spending like 30 quid a week on drinks that make you feel rubbish. And maybe you do, and that's totally fine. Or maybe you have an ASOS habit where you just keep on buying stuff and you have loads of clothes that you don't wear. You know, is there anything that you just already know from what I've been talking about where you've been thinking, actually, that's a waste for me personally, that's a waste of my money because I am not actually valuing that. It's not aligning with my values. It's not something I want to be investing in. It's, you know, I'm not really that bothered about it. And thinking about it, what could that one, is there any one thing that you feel like you are wasting your money? It could be that takeaway you have every week that actually isn't that great. It's not even a great tasting takeaway. But what is there an item or a thing that you know you feel like you're wasting your money on? Maybe it's a big thing like car repayments and you're actually not that bothered about having a fancy car and you'd be fine with like an old banger that's a bit cheapo. Or maybe it's around things like an expensive yoga studio that you never really go to and you don't actually find it that helpful. You know, whatever it is there one thing that you feel like you're wasting your money on? And even if that works out as like £10 a month, how could you invest that £10 a month in your health? Could you start buying organic butter as just like an easy switch? Or maybe, you know, instead of the gym membership, because you don't really go or use it, and that's maybe 50 quid a month, maybe you could be part of my Nourish membership for less than that. You could maybe invest in going to see a therapist once a month or acupuncture. Do you see how then you could easily make these little changes of, okay, you know what, I've looked at my bank statement and I'm currently spending a lot of money on my children go to ballet and they have guitar lessons and they have piano lessons and they have blah, blah, blah. And actually you are investing in nothing for you. You know what? You should probably strip that down. Well, not you should probably. It would be my suggestion that you would take some of that and don't just invest in your kids. Invest in yourself. It's really important. I know it's easier said than done, but people's kids can be a great excuse to forget about. A great excuse and a great plaster to cover an actual wound of not feeling like you're worth it and feeling guilty about it. So have a think. What is the one thing you feel like you could be wasting your money on, big or small? Maybe you have a Starbucks coffee every day and you're not really that bothered, but it's just a habit you're in. And where else could you put that money? Could you put that money into an organic artisan coffee that you really do love and really do enjoy? Could you save that £5 a week or £10 a week and, you know, that would be £40 a month and you maybe would go to a yoga class? Have a think and just, it's exciting. All the possibilities, whatever your budget, there is always flexibility and there is always choice. The biggest problem around money, as I said at the beginning, is the stories that we create around it and that we feel powerless and like a victim according to whatever number we have in the bank, whatever number we earn. And you're never actually a victim. You're never powerless. There is always some resource available for you to invest in your health, whether that be money, whether that be time, whether that be knowledge. There is always something available for you to invest. It's just about being aware of it. And actually, I'd really encourage you to rewrite your money story so that you can create increased health and happiness and just joy. And no matter where you're at, whether you're, you know, like me, and back when I was, before I got married, you know, my total monthly earnings was like 500 quid, and that was to cover my rent, my food, my bills, everything, but it was doable. I made it work. And or whether you're hitting, you know, higher numbers, maybe you earn a lot more money and are in a much more financially stable place, it's still really important. Are you spending your money on things that are important to you, or are you wasting it on stuff? Are you actually, what do you want to put your money into? And it's a really, really important aspect. So I'd love to hear from you around this episode. I know it's maybe a bit controversial or offensive, or I don't know, but I think it's really, really important. So let me know via Instagram or Facebook any questions or issues you have with this, but just know that there is hope for your health and that you don't have to tolerate feeling crap, and that money is an amazing resource that actually we get to utilize and use for feeling more awesome. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for listening. I really do value that people listen to this, and I'm here to serve you. So do let me know how I can help you in any way here on the podcast or in any other way. And I will speak to you guys next week. Lots of love.